You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Thursday. You know what that means? It's time for the Michigan mailbag. It is so chock full. It's ridiculous. So get ready. Again, I delay doing, granted, I do the Locked On Big Ten podcast. I did another podcast earlier today. So it always is a little bit of a wait on Thursdays, but this one delayed it until I had the energy to get to all of you for the Michigan mailbag. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And I mean, let's get to it because it is ridiculous today. Like, so many questions. Almost everyone who asked a question regularly asked one, not everybody. And there's a few people who, a lot of new faces that I'm seeing in the mentions. So let's do it. Starting with our leaders and best, James Crudup at James Crudup 6. The bye week seems to be coming at a great time with injuries mounting up. I know most of the fan base won't, but would you cut Harbaugh some sort of break if they drop some games down the stretch missing key starters for MSU, PSU, and OSU in particular? I mean, I think I'd cut anybody a break, any coach a break, if they are missing some key starters. Obviously, you can't if they lose them in week one and it's not the quarterback. But yeah, I mean, I cut anybody a little bit of a break, but I think it depends. And probably not, because I know Harbaugh's not going to cut himself a break and no one's going to cut Michigan a break. That's the issue. So I think part of that is no. So, like, yes and no. I guess it depends on who it is. If you lose, like, a, you know, one of the corners, that'd be a huge blow. If you lose Josh Ross, that'd be a huge blow. Aiden Hutchinson, any of those types of guys on defense. Obviously, Cade, even though people have faith in JJ, you lose another receiver. I mean, I think things probably could have gone a little bit better even then, more than it did against Nebraska if you had Roman Wilson there. Having two receivers down, I mean, that changes the outlook of what you expect to see in the preseason. I mean, no team expects to lose two receivers, and we'll see if Roman Wilson is healthy by the time that we are able to come back up. All right, Josh Barr at Jadicky. With the offseason changes, Ward and Jim probably discussed expectations coming into this season. Since Michigan is ahead of everyone's expectations so far, do you think Ward is shifting expectations based on results or keeping them from preseason and will evaluate later? I think Ward's going to keep him from preseason and evaluate later. I think that's how it goes with Ward. I don't think that he... Now, it would be a different situation, right, if they just lose the next six games. You know, that's... But then again, that's probably not what the preseason expectations are. And Ward probably gave Jim a number 8 or 9 or something like that, or at least just seeing tangible progress. Having had cigars with Ward, I have a pretty good idea of where he stands as far as how he evaluates this team. And I don't think he's going to change. I don't think he's going to suddenly be like, well, you know, they're 6-0 now. If they don't get to 11 wins, that's a big disappointment. And Jim, bye. I don't think, or you know, or Ohio State. I don't think he thinks in those terms. I'm putting words into his mouth, but I don't think he does. My brother in metal, Michael Wolf at Elmwolf 21. Does number one Alabama losing to an unranked 3-2 team show the playoff needs to be expanded? Does Michigan use this bye week to improve some of the vanilla / predictive red zone offensive play calling? On the latter one, I would imagine so, because they've been really big into self-scouting this year. Jim Harbaugh has really been, I mean, ever since the offseason, it's just self-scout, self-scout, self-scout. You saw what happened coming out of Rutgers, going into Wisconsin. I would imagine that they're going to try to figure that out. Now, they were fine, like, even with against Nebraska. I mean, Cade doesn't fall down, that game is suddenly a different game, right? Because... That was a walk-in touchdown by Hassan Haskins. I think also it's some of the predictability when it comes to like trying to run the ball in the red zone. I think that's more one of those things where it's less like predictability and more of like we've got the offensive line that should be able to get this done, and sometimes it doesn't work out. I'd like to see them, you know, incorporate more things, but that's what I liked about the touchdown that didn't happen, because it was finally they weren't just doing a dive, you know. As far as the Alabama and the playoff being needing to be expanded, we'll see how the season plays out, because if it's like, you know, Alabama goes on to win the SEC, Georgia's only loss is against Alabama, Oklahoma's undefeated, and let's just say hypothetically, like, you know, Michigan loses to Ohio State, but that's their only loss, and, you know, they don't play in the championship game. Of course, Michigan's going to be the one that's out, probably, but then it's just like, you know, how fair is that? You know, Alabama lost to an unranked team, Michigan loses to Ohio State. Like, you know, it's, we'll see. We haven't really had any issues so far with the top four, in the sense of, like, there really hasn't been anyone on the outside looking in that you'd necessarily be like, well, duh, they should have it. If Michigan would have beat Iowa, that would have been a different story in 2016. Didn't happen that way, but we'll see. There's yet to be a situation where it hasn't been obvious. And we'll see when the college football playoff rankings, when those come out. Because obviously, what if it's, you know, Ohio State and Iowa, and Iowa's only losses to Ohio State as well? What if it's Michigan's only losses to Ohio State, Iowa's only losses to Ohio State, and it's close all across the board? I mean, that'd just be crazy. Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner 1. Do you think Ronnie Bell returns next year? I'll answer these in order here, but I would put money on it. Yes, I can't imagine that he's going to go see what's up in the league yet. I feel like he probably wants another year with Michigan. Number 2, since we have a bye week, what games are you looking forward to this week? I know I got that similar question, so I'll answer some of them here. I don't remember all of them offhand. Wisconsin Army has me intrigued. I just want to see if Wisconsin's run defense, what it does against the triple option and a team that is intent on running constantly and not passing the ball. And Michigan State, Indiana, that will tell us a lot of what we need to know about Michigan State, especially if Indiana can start finding it some progress in throwing the football. I'll keep you with those. We'll go back to when we get that question again. I think I get that question again. I'll go back to the well, but those are the Big Ten games I'm looking forward to the most. Number 3, do you think Haskins and Corum both rush for 1,000 yards this year? I don't know where they stand right now. I'll have to look here in a second. Isaiah, what are your top 3 suggestions for out-of-town people to eat on game day? It always is Frito Betito's downtown. That's always number 1. If you're looking for like burger type fare, I think Pretzel Bell is pretty awesome. That would probably be number 2. That's just like kind of typical bar type fare, but a little bit more upscale. And 3rd, oh man, so hard. I'm trying to think what I normally order because I haven't been getting DoorDash to as much as I had been. I'll go with BTB Burrito. That's been my go-to for some, you know. It's been 15 years now. So as far as the rushing yards, I mean, Haskins is at almost at 500. Blake Corum's at 610. Kind of trending that way, but defenses get tougher. They've had a couple games where they haven't run the ball. I'm going to say yes. I think you're gonna have 2,000-yard rushers. Kind of looks that way. You're definitely going to get one, barring an injury. Certainly might have 2. So, all right. KRT at Farmer 84, if MSU and Michigan are both undefeated heading into the game on October 30th, does that become the most important game of the Harbaugh tenure? No, 2016 was the most, against Ohio State was the most important game. I don't think it's his fault that they lost that game. I think it's probably right close behind there, because certainly if you beat MSU, you set a tone for the rest of the season. You got a rivalry win. Suddenly expectations are, all right, you got Penn State. Penn State looks like a team that you can beat. I think that they're going to beat Penn State. I'm standing strong with that. You go into that Ohio State game probably at 11-0. So, honestly, it's hard to say which game is the most important, because if you lose to Michigan State but beat Penn State, and then obviously Ohio State, I mean, all 3 of those are kind of almost on equal footing, because I mean, you really have to beat the two others that aren't Ohio State, and Ohio State is going to be important, but it's not necessarily win, because I don't think that that's necessarily feasible at this juncture if Ohio State keeps playing the way it has the last 3 weeks, but because it's still Ohio State. Anyway, Brandon at Brandon S616, do you think the practices this week have been split between the MSU game coming up? Split with the MSU game coming up. 100% Northwestern, 75% Northwestern, 50-50, hashtag Renton. I love there's a bunch of people with the Renton references. One of them was a picture that won't show up here, but I don't remember who had it. But I would imagine it's... Harbaugh said focusing on upcoming opponents, so I would imagine that this week it's probably there's probably a little bit more of a focus on Michigan State. I don't think they're just focusing solely on Northwestern because they can do that next week. I'd imagine that this week they're probably focusing very little on Northwestern and focusing more on Michigan State, Penn State, and Ohio State. I think that's the way they should do it. Harbaugh said, hey, we're looking at upcoming opponents this week. They're not talking about it as improvement week the way that you've heard before about just younger guys getting more opportunities. So it seems like that's probably the case. Finishing us out in segment one, Jonathan Joseph at JJoseph2156. At what point does the Big Ten have to take a hard look at its reffing situation and have to do something about it? I mean, all of the conferences have issues, right? Like, it doesn't really seem to matter what conference you're in. They all have reffing situations. You know, the SEC refs in the Penn State-Auburn game. You know, if you talk to Pac-12 people, they'll, like, if I was on my conference call that I'm currently supposed to be on, they would, our USC writer would be sitting, and the Oregon writers would be sitting there talking about the Pac-12 refs. You know, I feel like I've heard it about the... especially in the game against Texas and Oklahoma. I feel like I heard it about the Big 12 refs. So I think it's just a natural thing. I just think that the refs need to get better. They were a complete you-know-what show against Nebraska for both teams. They were really bad for both teams. Yeah. Anyhow, let's move on. Hey, guys, so there is a few things in life that just aren't fun to talk about. One of them is excessive sweating. You know, when you're sweating through your shirts for no reason. It's embarrassing, right? Some of you may know I have personally dealt with this. When I speak in public, I can't help but sweat through my shirt. Now, listen, I know this isn't life and death, and there are much worse problems in the world, but let's be honest. In the moment, it feels like a big deal. No one likes to pit out during an important speech, interview, or first date, God forbid. I'd much rather not worry about it, and that's why I use Sweatblock antiperspirant wipes. Sweatblock is stronger and more effective than the most clinical antiperspirants. Simply apply it at night before bedtime. Go to bed. The next morning, you wake up, wash, and go about your day without worrying about sweat, guaranteed. I know this will sound too good to be true, but I literally only have to use Sweatblock once or twice a week. Helps keep me dry the whole time. No more pitting out. No more picking my shirts based on which one will hide sweat better. If you or someone you love is dealing with this, you have to check out Sweatblock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, or you can get it at Amazon or CVS. So many questions all the time in the world, though very sleepy. I get questions about how sleepy I am here, which is fun for me, actually. I do want to give a shout out to sponsor Home Field Apparel, the good brand. Got a bunch of shirts coming. Went and bought, I think, 6 shirts from Home Field. Just remember, Home Field Apparel.com, promo code Lockdown Wolverines. None of them are Michigan shirts, by the way. I've got a shirt. This is how good Home Field is. I ordered a Georgia shirt. How many of you have heard me talk smack about Georgia? Got a Georgia shirt coming. Bunch of SEC shirts. Georgia, Florida, LSU. Almost pulled the trigger on Alabama. I got a Miami shirt coming. I got a Oklahoma State shirt coming. Some other one. I went nuts today. Promo code Lockdown Wolverines at Home Field Apparel. So you'll see me in those shirts quite often here. All right. AJK at AJK4UM starting out the Victor's Valiant. Michigan or MSU? Who should be ranked higher? Which is more important, MSU's explosive offense or Michigan's defense? I'll be honest. Part of me gives the nod right now to MSU. I'd rather be that the case going into East Lansing. That game is always a nasty fight. I think partially I'm kind of with you because I think explosive offense tends to beat really good defense. That's just my take. Good offense always beats good defense. That's just the nature of football, college football in particular. That said, I think Michigan's a little bit, you know what? I just don't know, because they're both kind of the same team with different flaws. Michigan's flaw appears to be it does not have as strong of a passing game. They both have a solid running game. Difference is Michigan's got two guys. MSU has one. Then you've got then you look at the defense for Michigan State. Its passing defense is bad. But and they've faced relatively similar competition. Michigan State did better against Rutgers. I think that Michigan did better against Nebraska. But Michigan State played a couple of teams that were ranked at the time that now have no business being ranked. You know, you can't crow about, well, we've beat Northwestern and Miami right now. You know, it's like crowing about beating North Carolina or Texas A&M. Although Alabama would love to have that. So I kind of like it where it is for the sake of Michigan. Yeah, like you said, Michigan going in feeling like they're the underdog. I think they need that. They need that extra chip. They do this year, of all years. Last year, they were certainly too overconfident. I don't care what any of them say. They went in thinking MSU was just going to lay down, being like 20-something point favorites. Furkinator at Furkinator 1. Seems to be a third quarter lull more often than not this season. Could this be the lack of halftime adjustments or just coming out of the locker room cold? Can't stall on offense after the break as the competition starts to ramp up. Now, I think that the offense didn't really take that much of a break against Nebraska. The defense did. And I think they were caught by surprise with some of the things that Nebraska was doing, certainly. Certainly there wasn't a third quarter lull against Wisconsin. They really piled on in the fourth, but certainly wasn't one of those. Really, it was just kind of the Rutgers game, and I mean, I'd have to look at all the box scores. But it doesn't really seem like it's more often than not. I think the third quarter's been okay. Keeping in mind that in two games, Michigan in the third quarter had the backups in as well. So I wouldn't say more often than not. Feels like the third quarter went well against Washington, too. I think it's really just Rutgers and defensively against Nebraska. I think those are the two that where it's kind of like, okay, that's not ideal, but it is what it is. And they're starting fast. That's the important thing. They've been the first to score in every single game that they've played so far this year. So that's, I'd rather have that than a third quarter lull or over a third, you know, or have that and a third quarter lull than vice versa pretty much every time. It did used to seem that Michigan in the third quarter in like 2018, that was their quarter. Would like to see them get a little bit more back to that. We'll see. Adam Kasel at Adam_Kasel. What did you think of the atmosphere in Lincoln? On the broadcast, it seemed raucous early, but by the end of the first, beginning of the second half, it seemed quiet until Nebraska scored their first touchdown. Did it seem that like that live? How's Thunderstruck in person between the third and fourth quarters? I thought it was pretty awesome all the way through. Yeah, I mean, they were a little quieter, but I didn't think they were much quieter. I thought they were pretty, it was different than Camp Randall. Camp Randall was like very quiet, in my opinion, pretty much from the start of the game. This felt pretty raucous all the way through. Again, not Penn State level. Some people say Penn State level. I'm not there with it. Thunderstruck was pretty awesome. I wish that I would have taken more time to savor it. I was too busy crossing the field and getting video up getting video of the guys jumping around, trying to get it up. But my phone just refused in the crowd to upload it. And I wish I would have enjoyed it, but that was really cool. Thunderstruck was sweet with the lights turning down and everyone's got their camera phones up with the flashlights and everything's flashing red. It feels like, and like the lights up top were like flashing. It was like kind of like what you see at Georgia, some of their night games. I thought it was pretty cool. I'm kind of itching to go back to Nebraska. I'm not going to lie. Tyler at T_Force1. I'll be in town for the Northwestern game, traveling from Massachusetts and not heading home until Monday because flights are cheaper. LOL, any recommendations for post-game and Sunday? Best cigar bar in and around Ann Arbor. Like I mentioned, the food ones, the three ones. If you're looking for nightlife, I mean, I don't really know because I don't go out. I can't, you know, I don't drink thanks to my allergy that was onset in 2013. I have drank since then. It has not been a pleasant experience. Last time I drank, I had half a gin and tonic in March. It was March. Whew, and I was dead for 3 days. Half a gin and tonic, and I was dead for 3 days. So I don't really know nightlife-wise, except for the cigar bar that I tend to go to. I haven't been in a while. I haven't had a cigar in like 5-6 months or something like that. But La Casa on Jackson Road, that's my place. Go there. That's the place to go. Go to La Casa de la Habana. That's the place. See Calvin or Jessica. I don't know the other people that work there because I haven't been there in a while, but those are my people. But I'll say it again, if you're sticking around, you want brunch, go to Jagged Fork. That's the best. There's some other places I guess I would recommend. I mean, if you're looking to watch some football, maybe go to Regent's Field or Pretzel Bell or Fraser's Pub. York is also another good place for some food. They got some good breakfast as well as like sandwiches. Zingerman's is obvious. Zingerman's Roadhouse, if you want to do more of a traditional sit down, they've got the best ribs most of the time. So yeah. Anyway, that's my recommendation. Spencer Whitmore, at Spencer Whitmore. What surprised you the most about the game day experience in Lincoln? Could it be tradition or local food spot before? I think just the city of Lincoln, and I didn't really get to see much of it. I didn't see like the traditional downtown, but just like the fact that it's like the Haymarket area, which is where I went and watched. I went and watched the early games at Brewski's, and I mean, that was a cool sports bar. And but everything there is like, you know, old brick. I think the roads were brick. There's just people everywhere, and it's just they're all just in sports bars because it's all just like sports bars everywhere, and it's awesome. And like people are, you know, and then you get around and people are tailgating and just kind of tailgating wherever. But you know, they're a parking lot. It's like there's a gas station parking lot. Guess what? People are taking over the gas station or tailgating at the gas station. Kind of cool. It was just really nice. As far as tradition, I don't know that there was any traditions that really, I mean, I like the balloons. It's cool to look at. You wonder where all the balloons go, and that seems like that's probably not a good thing. But I like the visual of all the balloons. I wish it was really just the student section. I wish it was like everywhere. Thunderstruck was awesome. So, and I did not know that was a tradition because I haven't watched enough Nebraska to know that. I feel like it's not as advertised as Jump Around, but yeah, those are the things. It was a really good experience. I enjoyed it a lot. I'm looking forward to going back. Like I said, Mark Z at Mark Zimke. Can you give us a rundown of what your life is like 24 hours after the game ends? It doesn't appear you get any sleep. Well, this particular game was a different scenario because it was a night game. If it's a night game, I'm not going to get a heck of a lot of sleep no matter where it is. It was even worse because I had a flight at 8 a.m. So, all right, here's how it goes. Here's my traditional game day. And anyway, I arrive at a stadium stadium it is, 3 hours before kick, especially because I'm photo. I got to get there, find where the photo, especially if it's a place that I've never been, which was Nebraska's the only one as far as that's concerned. The only one other place I haven't done photo at, and that's Minnesota. So you arrive, you try to figure out where you're going, try to figure out where the post-game press conference is. I go and get my seat saved because who knows if I'm going to be early or late, depending on what the situation is. Lord knows I'm going to be sweaty if it's warm out. So just to save myself any hassle, I go and put like my camera microphone and tripod base, all that kind of stuff there. And you go through the game. Then after the game, you go to the press conference. That takes anywhere from, that's usually about 45 minutes to an hour-ish. Then the first thing I do is transcribe Jim Harbaugh's press conference, everything he said, post that as a everything Jim Harbaugh said post on Wolverine's Wire. I and then usually post the post-game notes from what Michigan posts, all the trivia, the things that you might have missed. I go through pictures a bit and post a gallery. Just try to, if I'm on the road, don't have time to go through it really. I just end up trying to just scan as fast as I possibly can, try to find 40 pictures that look good. I still have not gone through Nebraska's pictures beyond what I exported. So I probably have a lot of really good pictures that I haven't seen. Maybe I don't. I have no idea. So go through that, post a gallery, check and see what the next thing is. See what the opposing coach said about Michigan if Michigan won. And that sometimes there's a transcript. More often than not, you just have to listen to audio or watch video posted by the other team or Michigan, depending on if it's a home game. So you go through that, do one of those. Somewhere around midnight, I like to start doing my Big Ten power rankings for the week. So get that up. Try to have that up by 1 a.m. I don't think that was the case. Well, it might have been the case this last week because I did the power rankings while I was still in the stadium at Nebraska. That's like the most important stuff. Then the next day, then that's when I start trying to get into any things that the players said. If I can, any other hot stories. If it's a night game, like after the Washington game, I did not sleep. I just kept going. Had some phone calls and stuff outside of that. But this game, I got 2 hours of sleep and then went to the airport, got on the plane. I could have worked on the plane. I started to, but I was like, I don't want to because of my disdain for flying, and it was an uncomfortable flight for me, unfortunately. Great flight there, terrible flight back for me. And that's pretty much it. And you just kind of keep going until you exhaust yourself. Sunday is when people read more than Saturday, so I try to focus more on Sunday, but I want to get stuff out that people want to know as fast as I can, which is what Jim Harbaugh said, what the opposing coach said, some trivia type things, the pictures, and then the Big Ten power rankings once all the games have concluded. So, yeah. Chase Glasser via Instagram. Against Power 5 competition, Cade averages 165 yards and 0.5 touchdowns a game at 56% completion percentage. Is that enough to beat MSU, PSU, and be respectable against OSU? He said, with that in mind, how does Matt Weiss's prediction that Cade would be a 10-year starter in the NFL sound? You have to keep in mind that not all things are equal, because he threw for what, like 200 yards against, just under 200 yards against Wisconsin, and then by that time it was a blowout situation, and J.J. McCarthy's playing. He threw for 255 yards against Nebraska. He didn't throw the ball often at all against, only had 15 attempts against Washington. Had 193 yards against Rutgers. That certainly didn't go well in the second half. Did well against Rutgers the year before. Only played one half of football against Penn State the year before. So I think that, you know, part of that, yeah, is averaging 165 yards. And with the touchdowns this year, I mean, they ran all their touchdowns in this past game. Certainly he hit some guys in the hands. Dalen Baldwin this game didn't come down with them. It's I think it's one of those things that if Michigan was relying on passing the ball over running the ball, that'd be one thing, but they're not. As far as Matt Weiss's prediction, we'll see. You know, he's got a headiness that I think is really smart. You know, the fact that, again, I've had people dispute this. I disagree vehemently. Both of the interceptions, one of them got called off, the other one not so, were because Cade, in my opinion, my very strong opinion, saw that there was someone that jumped off sides and went for it. You know, just went down, you know, who's the furthest person down the field that I can hit? I think that's smart. That's Teddy. He's taken one sack all year. He, aside from those plays, those two interceptions, he hasn't really thrown an interceptable ball. He had a couple others this game. I think Nebraska was on to try to confuse him a little bit. There are certainly things that need to be cleaned up. He's late a lot. He's not always he's making the right reads, in my opinion, most of the time. This last game, not as much, but he needs to get the ball out a little bit faster. But Michigan's not relying on Cade to be the one to lead the team. It's only been the last two games, really, that they've been really trying to rely on his arm. Aside from that, they were just like, hey, we can run the ball, so we're just going to do that. Continuing, will we ever run a constraint or pass out of the JJ package in non-garbage time? If he only comes in and runs the zone read, it's like Pepper's stuff in late 2016 when everyone knew what was coming. How many times do people say Pepper's going to throw it against OSU? Well, he was supposed to. He just didn't. I think that was the point of him throwing against Wisconsin, was to show, hey, can throw the ball. I don't think they're going to use it until they feel like they need to, right? But just because they have it in their arsenal, again, doesn't mean that he'll actually do it, especially if he's the one that's making the read. If it's an RPO and he decides to run it, then he's going to run it, right? Peppers, again, was supposed to throw the ball against Ohio State, and he didn't. Anyway, as always, good work on the pod and the content. Thank you. I appreciate it, Chase. Zach Van Lente at Lente Zach. Don Brown had a lot of success in his first year, then dropped off significantly. Do you think that it's a possibility with Mike McDonald as well? Before I continue to your next question, I'm going to disagree. Don Brown had a lot of success in his first year, his second year, and his third year, and was pretty good in his fourth. It was, with the exception of Ohio State in year three, Don Brown in 2016 and 17. Michigan had the number two defense in 2017 once everything was said and done. They had the number one defense, or maybe it ended up falling to number two in 2018. Again, it fell off against Ohio State due to the things that I've said, the predictability and the play calls and all of that stuff. Which I have doubly confirmed at this point. And 2019, it was 13th in the country. He had a lot of success until 2020. So I don't think it dropped off significantly at all. But I also think he had, 10 NFL defensive players on his team in 2016. And he hasn't had that many all at once. So it was going to look awesome in 2016. But I still think that the 17-18 defenses might have even been better overall as far as what they were able to do. That's what I think. I don't think it fell off significantly at all. All right, continuing. Do you think Gattis can figure out his red zone issues? Current production will not equal wins against the three big teams remaining. I hope so. Again, the self-scout situation. They do need to score more touchdowns in the red zone, and I don't think that four field goals against any of those three teams is going to... I know they got touchdowns, but, you know, two field goals. I think you have to limit yourself to two field goals. The rest have to be touchdowns. And I think those field goals probably need to come out of the red zone, right? Like, stall out at the 30-yard line. Okay, cool. Field goal. Not, I think when you get in the red zone, yeah, you got to score. So, I don't know. Hope so. Josh is a nice guy via Instagram. Mailbag questions. Looked like Nebraska was offsides on the interception. Did Cade think he had a free play? Yeah, I know I covered that. But yes, I definitely think that. I think that it was actually false start, then an offsides looking at the replay, but so it should have been a dead ball. I definitely think that's the case, though. Number two, can you explain why on earth we ended the game by kneeling from the pistol? Seems way more risky than kneeling from under center. I didn't notice. I was down on the complete other side of the field, so I couldn't really see Michigan's formation. That does seem odd. Yeah, seems like that is weird. I could not explain it. Thank you, you said. You're welcome. Rob Anto at Rob Anto 1. Why is there such a negative tone from the media, not you, with Michigan? We survived a meltdown and avoided disaster beating Nebraska, but MSU was resilient and found a way. One journalist went as far as to compare us to a Rich Rod team. Boy, I haven't seen any of that, but that doesn't surprise me. It's just it's the narrative set with Michigan. Michigan underachieves, MSU's the plucky underdog, no matter what. Even if MSU's supposed to win against Nebraska by like 20, and I don't think that's what it was. It was probably like 5. You know, it's, you know, MSU's the plucky underdog, and Michigan is supposed to be the powerhouse and whatever. And I think it is funny that if that's what people are saying, considering that Michigan, those same people are probably saying Michigan's 7-5, right? And now they're 6-0, and they're still probably like, well, there's got to be a way to spin this negatively. I don't know. I mean, we'll find out in the second half, but it is weird if that is what the media is saying. Like I said, I haven't seen it, but I'm not necessarily looking. I don't live on Twitter. I avoid it as much as I possibly can. So I don't know, but that does sound about right, you know. And the national media still is reticent to give Michigan much credit from what I've seen. And I do think Michigan did survive, right? Like, I don't think that's anything wrong, but I also think that they found a way to win. You know, Michigan found a way to win, and Nebraska had a costly mistake, and all of these things are true at once, right? Because Nebraska having a crucial, costly mistake is something it always does, this year at least, and Michigan finding a way to win is not something that always happens. And, you know, it's... because the only media I really look at is, like, as far as headlines and stuff I see is, like, the Wolverine and stuff like that, and I'm sure that that's not what they're saying, but maybe I'm wrong. Zach at Zach Woodruff 3, how are you doing? Thanks for all the new content and ways to view/interact. I am doing good. Well, this one would say I'm just tired, very tired, needed the bye week. I'll tell you this, not looking forward to basketball media days, not because I'm not looking forward to basketball things. I am. It's just more of having a 4-hour stretch of not laying around, which I need during the bye week, but I am thankful they are having it during the bye week rather than like on a Monday. Yeah, it is to add on to the earlier question about what my 24 hours look like. During the season, I don't really get a day off, and today's as close as I've gotten, right? And, you know, I'm doing an hour doing the podcast. I've done 2 other podcasts. I've written a little bit. This is the most day off I've got pretty much all week, and most day off I'll have all week. It's just go, go, go. It's like a whirlwind. And as much as I'm not complaining, that's just what it is. I think, you know, it's fun because it's football, you know, doing something that you love, but it does get tiring. It doesn't not get tiring just because you love it. So it's a lot. Enchanted Pants at Enchanted Pants. I'm scared to death of MSU. Will 10:30 be a night game? Should we want them to win or lose at Indiana this week? Also, what kind of name is Hole? My last name, Hole, is Norwegian. I was born to a Norwegian German, and when looking at my ancestry, apparently some British and Russian in there as well. And then I'm black on the other side from Congo, Nigeria, and Mali, I believe. Lots of things. There's like 15 things in my ancestry. It's hard to remember them all. I'm with you on MSU, and I don't think it'll be a night game. I have on pretty good authority unless something changes. And I mean, we'll know on Monday, but that it'll be either noon or 3:30. Just based off of some very limited but good intel I got, but that it could change. I'll share it with you once we know when it is, why I think this, and you can go with it from there. But I think you want Michigan State to beat Indiana, because you don't want to have a moment where it's like, oh well, maybe they're not as good, and then you also don't want them to come in angry, even, you know, and that much more hungry. They're going to be angry and hungry enough. You want Michigan to give them their first loss, because it seems like when Michigan's beat Michigan State, it hasn't been that Michigan's beat like a really, really good Michigan State team, right? And usually when Michigan State's beat Michigan, it hasn't beaten a really good Michigan team. The only exception was in 2011 when Michigan State beat, you know, a good Michigan team. So it'd be nice to see it, you know, two teams that are undefeated playing against each other mid to late season, week 8. Jacob Cheveria at Jacob 1721 3950. Should I go to the MSU or the OSU game? Told myself I would never attend another OSU game after the harassment and salt of being thrown at me all game in 2019. OSU fans sure do know how to take over a stadium. LOL. And what's your predicted starting 5 for basketball this year? I mean, I'd go to MSU probably if I had. I don't know. Because, I mean, OSU is still OSU. It's still what it is, but yeah, Ohio State fans, I'm sure, are obnoxious. I didn't have that issue the times that I went, because I was either in the student section or I was pretty firmly in around a bunch of Michigan fans. MSU probably seems like that would be, you know, especially if both teams are undefeated, that feels like that would be the big game to go to. As far as predicted starting 5, I would bet it would be Devontae Jones, Eli Brooks, Caleb Houston, Hunter Dickinson, Brandon Johns. Mike, the underscore Mike B underscore show. You think Gattis, Harbaugh have something up their sleeves for big games this year? I would imagine. All right. We saw it a little bit against Wisconsin. So, you know, with just the brand of what they were trying to do and obviously having the flea flicker and it looked more creative and more aggressive. Yeah, I think that they probably do. Certainly the bye week helps. So I would imagine so. All right, finishing us out in segment two, this almost 30-minute segment two. Ryan at IM3LAC, no question this week, but my six-year-old was in the car with me while listening to your podcast, and he asks, why is he always talking about Built Bar? rolling on the floor laughing. Those emojis. Love the podcast, by the way. Thank you, Ryan. I put that there not knowing what my read was, and it's not Built Bar, unfortunately, because that would have been perfect, but yeah. Go to built.com, put in promo code LOCK15. All right, let's move on. RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique. It's also remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and for do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Listen, football has been back for a while now. It's better than ever. Last week was evidence of that across the sport. All eyes are back on the gridiron for the new football season. That's very well underway. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to betonline.ag to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use a promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, so many more questions left. This is the most ever. There's like 10, 11, 12. I don't know. I'm not really counting. I'm just kind of scrolling. Let's start with Rich Nelson at Rich Nelson 1. Hey, Isaiah, hoping to get my first question for the mailbag in. Have you been seeing how Xavier Worthy is tearing it up at Texas? Too soon, man. Too soon. 24 catches for 546 yards and 6 touchdowns for an average of more than 21 yards per catch. If Michigan had Xavier Worthy on the roster, how would that change your thoughts about our chances versus Ohio State and potential for an 11 or 12 win season? I'd feel pretty good if he was on Michigan's roster and playing the same exact way. Ronnie Bell's out. You got Xavier Worthy out there doing exactly what he's doing. I think that chances are I'd feel, and if Michigan's passing offense was that good, I'd feel a lot differently. Yes, but such is not the case. I think I shared this. Maybe I didn't. I shared it on Twitter. I still think it was funny. Sitting at Brewski's, I'm next to a Texas fan, and I'm next to, then he's sitting next to a Michigan fan. And Texas fan, after Xavier Worthy makes a play, he's like, yeah, see that kid? You know, he signed with us kind of late. You know, he's a true freshman. He's been doing making plays like that. And the Michigan fan either doesn't follow recruiting or is just being polite. And he's like, oh, man, that's cool. That's really cool, man. Oh, you have no idea, dude, wearing a number 10 Michigan jersey. Not that that's what he'd be wearing, but, you know. Jody Getchy. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. At Jody underscore Getchy. Will they still keep Ohio State in the top four when we beat them? It's a bold prediction on your end. And will Walker still be a Heisman candidate if he rushes for less than 20 yards against us? And was Jet really considering Tennessee? So And someone else asked about Jet. I'll get to that in a moment. But so we'll save that question. That's some bold stuff. Number one, I don't think that Kenneth Walker is going to get less than 20 rushing yards against Michigan. He'll get some yards. You might get 100. Might not. That's still going to be a challenge. I think that Michigan's defense will be the biggest challenge. They only got 76 yards rushing against Nebraska. I think Michigan will, you know, Michigan should be able to do a good job against him, but I'm sure they'll also have some stuff in store to try to figure something out as well, knowing that, you know, Michigan's not the only one game planning. It's probably saving up special stuff. As far as, I don't think Ohio State's in the top four right now anyway. We'll see where they're at come later. And I mean, again, I'm not predicting Michigan will beat Ohio State. I'm not going to do it. No offense. @HarryDieters, does JJ get significant playing time early against Northwestern? For example, 10 throws, 4-plus drives. I'd like to see him get challenged a little bit more. Agree, disagree. I think it'll be about the same. I don't think they'll break it out necessarily against Northwestern. I think they would, if they were going to start being like, he's going to get a full drive, and he'll get time early. And I don't know about 10 throws. Not early against Northwestern. He'll probably get to get in against Northwestern and maybe have those same stats. Not early necessarily. I think that they'll go with Cade for a while till the game's out of reach, which I think it will be, and then it will go from there. But I don't think it will necessarily be like, all right, JJ, go to town, man. Maybe they will. I don't know. I could be wrong. I think that they would probably save that kind of thing for Michigan State, though. So, Paul H. Lauren. @PaulHLarn, JJ is constantly recruiting. Who's coming from IMG? I don't think anybody. I don't think there's anyone from IMG. But, yeah, he's still constantly recruiting. That's still happening. I don't have anything else to add to that. Daniel at Not a Gas Station. How does the basketball team deal with reports that Coach Howard has paid for meals, housing, vacations, etc. with their latest recruit? For a second, I was like, I haven't heard this. And I realized, oh, yeah, Jet. Yeah, I know. Just tons of recruiting violations. I heard he's sleeping with his mom. Yeah, that's pretty major. It's pretty major. Good stuff. Leon Adams at L Adam. Should we be concerned with two teams making second half adjustments against our defense? I love how the defense is playing, but concerned when we play more high-powered offenses. The real excitement will be when we get McDonald's recruits in this defense. As in Mike McDonald's recruits. Against Rutgers, no, against neither am I concerned. Because here's the thing. Against Rutgers, Josh Ross was out. So that was more of the issue. Josh Ross is out. They feel like they can run in the middle of the field suddenly. So I'm more concerned about if keeping Josh Ross healthy so he isn't out for an entire half of football. Against Nebraska, it kind of was what Michigan expected all game from Nebraska, all in just the second half. So I talked to many a person before the game. They all had the same thing to say. Nebraska's going to move the ball because that's what they do. And then they just didn't, right? I mean, they did on the first drive, and then after that, I mean, there was a little bit of groaning in Lincoln for a little bit, so I guess that one person was right there, because there was certainly some groaning when they're trying some stuff and Michigan's just shooting into the backfield. But, yeah. So I wouldn't be concerned. Not yet. No, I think I'd be concerned if it happens again, like against Northwestern, or if it happens, obviously, in the Michigan State game, then be concerned. But, no, I wouldn't be concerned based off of what we've seen. Jeremy at @Emerson_Jeremy. How concerned are you with the defense busting coverage on the long plays Nebraska had? Again, I'm not concerned because it's the only time we've really seen it all season. Was it concerning in that game? 100%. It's the only time we've seen it happen all year, so I'm not concerned with it, you know, in that sense. So it seemed like some guys just not doing doing the opposite of what they always said, like just focus on your job. Don't worry about trying to do too much. Seemed like guys trying to do too much based off of what I saw, kind of abandoning their posts and such like that. Jeff Koenig at @MIKoenig44. How can Gattis incorporate JJ more in the offense without disrupting Cade's rhythm? Or do you think the amount of snaps for him is how it is set up to is sufficient? I'm not really sure because it's just not really my forte. I think it's good putting him in for like a play or two and then taking him out instead of just giving him a whole drive. I think that that's good. I think it's sufficient, but I don't know if you want to incorporate him more unless you just want to say, hey, we just want to give JJ a full drive. We just want to throw the ball and run the, you know, run zone reads and RPOs and see how that goes. That would be the only other option, I think. I think the way to keep Cade from getting out of rhythm is exactly what you're doing. Just putting JJ in kind of sporadically. Craig Johnson at CVJohnson19. Can you confirm the Lions are tanking so they can take Jake Moody, number one overall, the Northville kid? Wouldn't be surprising. And with the number one overall pick, the Detroit Lions select Jake Moody, kicker, Michigan. Wolverines culture at Wolf Cult Pod. With the bye weekend coming, what games will have your attention this weekend? All right, so I answered the Big Ten ones. Let's go back to the well. Let's see what week 8 games we have. I've got to pull it up, and I'm not doing a good job of it. See what other ones are going to be on my radar. Well, we got Cal Oregon tomorrow. And other than that, I'm just looking at ranked games. Oklahoma State, Texas could be interesting because Oklahoma State's undefeated. I have an Oklahoma State and a Texas shirt coming up from home field, so I don't know who to root for. Auburn, Arkansas, 2-4-2 teams, but one of them is ranked. Kind of want to see what happens there. If Auburn beats Arkansas, that might mean a little bit more about Penn State being legitimate. Otherwise, I mean, maybe not. Kentucky, Georgia, I'm interested in that. I think that people aren't, like, Georgia's favored by 21.5. I think that Kentucky might be legitimate and might give Georgia a little bit of something, a little something. And that's about it. That's about all I care about. And I'm only looking at the top 25. I'm sure there's other games out there, but we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Let's see. Jackson 2 at TrueJJ32. I've noticed in all games except the Wisconsin game, I think that Michigan has played a lot of interior offensive line in meaningful snaps, something like 5 different guys. Do you have any insight on why that is? Is it skim or injury or just trying to get guys playing time? It's a little bit of all of the above. So this last week, it was because of injuries. So they did play 5 different guys. Because Breece Atterbury came in, Carson Barnhart, obviously Chuck Filiaga and Trevor Keegan both played, Zach Zinter. Zinter and Keegan had some injuries. Filiaga had an injury, so that's why you saw the other guys come in. But there has been a rotation in the sense of Keegan and Filiaga and Zinter have all kind of been somewhat interchangeable. So that has happened throughout the season. So it has happened, I think, even maybe in the Wisconsin game, they still split between putting Filiaga and those other two in, but I'm not 100 on that. Kevin at Big Kev Hale. So much talk about the QB situation. I'm not so sure I am ready to see a 100% switch, but wouldn't next week be a great week to go? One full series with Cade, one full series with JJ. I like that rather than a few plays here and a few plays there. I mean, if you feel like you can get away with it against Northwestern, by all means, but, you know, I'd rather just keep Cade in rhythm and just prepare against live bullets for Michigan State. And I'd rather it be more he takes the first half and then JJ takes the second. You know what I mean? I think that would be more productive, personally. Alex Fuller at Big Al Full 54. Was there really any doubt Jet didn't pick Michigan? And that's where the Tennessee question that Jody asked, because I do believe that he was going to Tennessee based off of quotes acquired by Andrew Kahn, I think it was, from MLive, that he was going to commit to Tennessee and change his mind on Monday. But that's the thing, is sometimes it's people think things are a foregone conclusion. Remember when the Mallory kid, I can't remember the first name, everyone was like, well, he's a lock to Michigan. And then he ends up committing to Miami, going to the U. My adopted team, the U. It's all about the U shirt. I'm just going to wear that every podcast. I don't even watch Miami's games. I like those 30 for 30s. So, yeah, I guess there was that. Finishing us out, a good, let's see, how long is this? 54 minutes in, the longest podcast ever. Rod Beckering at Rod Beckering. What is your best guess for the last six? Can we run the table? Who are your offensive and defensive MVPs for the midseason awards? Entire offensive line for the offensive MVP. And it's easy. It's Aiden Hutchinson for defensive. As far as the last six, I mean, I said it the other day. I'm going to say it again. People aren't going to like it. I'm not sold on my own prediction. But win Northwestern, lose Michigan State, win Indiana, win Penn State, win Maryland, lose Ohio State. So 4-2 down the stretch. New Year's Six Bowl. Can't be the Orange Bowl, which would make me sad. I want to be in Florida to go to Disney. But can't have it all, I guess. Anyhow, that'll do it for us today. We will be back with Jake Butt tomorrow for the previewing the bye week, I guess, is what it is. But anyway, thank you for watching and or listening. We will be talking to you very, very soon. Peace.